Good evening, everybody. Thank you for joining me here on New Jersey Revolution Radio. It's Sunday night, and we are joined, of course, by our good friend Pat Noble to ask him what the fuck is going on in Trenton, as well around the state, and or maybe we'll leave the great nation of New Jersey tonight just to talk about some things going on a little to the north of the border. So thanks for joining me, Pat. How are you?
I'm doing well. Good to see you again.
Good. I did some math at a business meeting with my partner here, Heather. We're now officially a worker-owned business, by the way, so we're going to announce that, and we're going to start talking to some people who do worker-owned type stuff, but we're officially a partnership right now, but we're working on a worker-owned model. And we did some math as a part of that, and it costs roughly around $75 a month in standing bills. So that's for people's email accounts and, you know, the web hosting and all that kind of stuff. So if you divide that by four, it's roughly $20 a week. So if you're listening to this and you enjoy what the fuck is going on in Trenton, if you enjoy our interviews with third-party independent candidates, if you like the work we're doing for racial and social justice in places like Ventnor and down in South Jersey there by you know, giving exposure to these things, we're asking you to chip in. Fund a week. Fund 1 week. Give us $20. Go to the website. Go hit the it's www.njrevolutionradio.com. Hit the contribute button and make $20, and we'll have another week of good fun times and social revolution and anti-capitalist work. So thank you. I probably too long plugging that. Was I too long?
No, it's all right. As long as people donate, who gives a shit?
True. Pat, what the fuck is going on in Trenton?
Well, sort of quiet right now because our dear governor has gone to Italy on vacation, but we'll come back to that in a minute.
Yes.
Maybe we can start off with the latest. I don't even know what round number this is, but the latest round of Whitney versus Murphy.
Okay.
We need to get someone on here that comes out with the card every session so we know what round we're on.
True.
The latest
it seems to be pretty much ongoing. They did have a break for about a week because everybody went on vacation, I guess, after session was over.
Yeah, Murphy's wounds had to heal up, you know, the whole thing.
Yeah.
So the newest thing.
And he did what every working class person does. He went to Italy.
Yeah, it's nice. I mean, at least Christy and Corzine made use of the beach house, so Christy obviously did. But I guess Murphy decided that he wanted to go to Italy instead, instead of enjoying the great Jersey Shore.
I don't understand that. Well, I mean, he had a house in Italy.
Yeah. His house.
Okay. So please continue your report.
I'm a hearing. Okay. Oh, okay. You're doing sound effects. I thought maybe I had like a tab opener or something that started playing.
I can't help myself.
You got to pepper that in.
Yeah, you know, I mean, this is Phil's over there, and in tribute to our great governor, who I'm sure is a big fan of the program. I'm sure he's very, you know.
Tunes in every week or whatever.
All right, I'm sorry. Keep going. Okay.
So the latest thing is that Sweeney, the Senate president, is pushing a ballot measure to change the state constitution that would take the budget veto entirely away from the governor. So up until now, the governor has the line item veto, can veto everything, and that's why we almost had the government shutdown. That's why Chris had the shutdown last year, and he had the he had the pictures on the beach and all that. So Sweeney's idea is to take that power away from the governor completely, make a three-person panel that includes the state treasurer that would do it.
Okay. Who state treasurer is appointed by the governor, right?
Yeah. So it would be the state treasurer, the finance officer, and then a third person that would get appointed by someone. But the governor wouldn't even be on this committee. It's not like they're taking the power and adding more people in the mix. They're cutting him out completely.
Now, Steve Sweeney's been in the state Senate for some time. Did he have, he had a problem with Chris Christie doing this all the time, right? They, he always made an issue out of this.
Yeah, but they cut deals and they were buddy buddy, but in Murphy's case it doesn't seem to be happening.
I don't think Steve Sweeney ever tried to take this power away from Chris Christie through a constitutional amendment.
I don't think Steve Sweeney would be complaining about it now if he weren't fucked over by Murphy in the primary last year.
That's true. We didn't get into this. He didn't even try. Steve didn't even try.
He caved $10 million and ran away.
He caved to money just like everybody else in the Democratic Party in the state and should stop being a sore loser. If he was going to be this pissed off, to be honest with you, why didn't you just run against the guy? I know the answer. I just answered my own question in my head.
Yeah.
Why would Steve Sweeney drop? Why? I mean, Steve's powerful. He's been the state Senate president for some time. Yeah. Why would he not take on this out-of-state Goldman Sachs millionaire? What's the answer? I know the answer.
Yeah.
I want to see if you know the answer.
He doesn't have money. You know, he's fucked over the union so much. The only ones that are goofy enough to back him were the NJEA.
True. But the main reason is because Norcross probably wouldn't let him.
Yeah.
And everybody does what George tells them.
Yeah.
And, you know, George met with Murphy, and I think he figured, well, Murphy's going to win. Mm-hmm. And if I wind up back in Sweeney in a primary, then I'm going to piss off the new governor. And this way I'll have the state Senate president and the new governor in my pocket. But all that kind of fell apart because is he getting along with George Norcross?
He seems to be getting along with pretty much everyone, except for the folks in the legislature. He has the money. He has his front groups that run around. He doesn't mm-hmm. seem to be fighting with any of the party bosses, just the Democrats in the legislature.
Well, because they none of them like him because he doesn't have any roots, and they feel like we're from the communities. And who's this guy?
And plus, he's Central Jersey, so he can't really call it North versus South.
Oh, there's no such thing as Central Jersey.
Is that right?
There's not. It's North. It's just exit 100. Yes.
Go fuck yourself. there's Central Jersey, and then there's some counties up north that belong in New York. I think you're in that mix. And then South Jersey, which is more or less Philadelphia.
Really, I feel like my identity is being robbed from me here because I don't feel like a Central Jersey guy. I more associate myself with Newark and northern parts of New Jersey, even though you're right, I'm in the middle there.
Yeah.
But I'm in the south of the north. I'm not in the central.
Yeah, maybe we have to get a map on here. We can figure this out.
I'm up there. I'm exit 120. I'm 127. I mean, that's to me,
get a map of New Jersey on your whiteboard there, and we'll figure this out once and for all.
To me, the dividing line is exit 100 on the Parkway.
Yeah.
And that's it. All right. Well, so Phil Murphy is in Italy, I guess, licking his wounds after the budget battle. He owns a house there. $7.5 million mansion.
he's the progressive working man, you know. Him and Cynthia Nixon must be reading from the same progressive playbook.
I wonder if he's listening to this kind of music over there. I would. If I had a $7.5 million mansion, and it's probably looking at some water.
Yeah.
I mean, wouldn't you just like hang around the house in your underwear and just listen to this all day? Although I don't think I think he would be more the monocle and top hat kind of guy.
I would like to see a picture of Phil Murphy in a monocle and top hat. That might actually be worse than Chris Christie sitting on the beach.
I'm working with a cartoonist on something. This music's killing me. I love Dean Martin. I love the Rat Pack.
Yeah.
We're experimenting here tonight on New Jersey Revolution Radio, and I see that we got three viewers hanging around for a little while.
Oh,
so the music must be working. It must.
Yeah, they don't give a fuck what we're talking about. They just want to listen to the music.
I'm gonna pepper it in a little bit. I'm gonna pepper.
Okay. Yeah. You have the laser beam noise?
I do.
Yeah. Okay.
I have some foreign foreign correspondents.
Okay.
In other countries outside of New Jersey.
Oof.
Yeah. I don't have my passport, so I don't cross the Hudson or the Delaware. Just my thing.
Yeah, it's always a bad experience.
We've seen some foreign reporting lately. Yeah. And while we do, you know, what happens, I think, in New York and Philly is always relevant to New Jersey because so many of our activists go back and forth. I'm always yelling at them. And you can ask, you know, the people I work with personally whenever they leave. I'm like, where are you going? Why are you going to New York when you live here? But, you know, I guess they think they're cool kids or whatever. But it affects what happens in here in New Jersey. And we have many of these same groups, such as Working Families and DSA and Socialist Party, Greens, that operate in both states. Mm-hmm. So DSA stands for the Democratic. Remind me, Pat, what does DSA stand for?
What they stand for is the Democratic Party. What DSA is an acronym stands for is Democratic Socialists of America.
I have friends in DSA. There's some really great organizers, a lot of union organizers in DSA, so there's skills there. Mm-hmm. But they claim to be, you know, socialists, right? So when I think of socialism, and tell me if I'm wrong here, Pat, mm-hmm. I think of a rich white lady who takes money from developers mm-hmm. and runs as a Democrat. Is that what Marx taught us?
I don't think so.
You're more scholarly than I am.
I mean, I don't even know where to start on this one. I mean, going back to how you started this out, where you said there's, you know, good folks in DSA, I hear that all the time.
There are.
Here's the big secret, though, and it's the same for DSA and the Socialist Party and the Greens. It doesn't matter how good some of your members are. It doesn't matter what, you know, how radical the minority of your organization is. It matters what you actually do, and what they actually did was that they endorsed Cynthia Nixon.
You know, they did.
Someone, you know, just because she whipped out the word socialist.
Like 5 minutes before she met with them.
Yeah. She happened to whip out that word with nothing to back it up. You know, forget that she's, a millionaire. Forget that part. But forget that she's running as a Democrat. Forget that she's not even that radical to begin with. She just happens to be to the left of Cuomo, which really isn't that different. you just have to not be a complete dirtbag to be to the left of Governor Cuomo.
He's not known for his radical positions on many things.
He is not.
He touts, and I'll say that even when he touts left positions like the $15 minimum wage, the bill they passed for $15 minimum wage was watered down to shit. It's got a long phase in. By the time it makes 15 in most areas, you still be poor making it. So I don't want to hear it. It's smokescreen most of it.
Yeah. So they endorse her. I mean, I don't know if they didn't take Cowie Hawkins into consideration, or you have, you know, frankly, you know, one of the more, you know, radical, well-known Greens running for governor. All the left groups that are endorsed him.
Yes.
And I guess they just missed the memo.
I guess. And I've seen some haters on Howie talking about how, well, he's not really a socialist because he's green. Howie ran with an ISO candidate the last time he ran.
Right.
Howie gets around the lefty circles, and whether or not you think he's, you know, the next coming of, Vladimir Lenin, I don't think that's the case. But you know what, man? The dude's been around the left, and he comes from our communities. He certainly deserves the support of anybody who wears the label socialist. I mean, it's just the bottom line, man.
I mean, and you know me, I'm not a big supporter of the Green Party in general. But obviously Cynthia Nixon's not going to win the Democratic primary. So this isn't like the argument, Bernie won a bunch of primaries and shot at the nomination. This is not that. She's not going to win. So you have her, and then you have Howie Hawkins, and what sort of liberal pseudo socialist bullshit goes through your mind? to make it seem like endorsing her is somehow better than endorsing Hawkins, if you're going to endorse someone at all, because you don't have to endorse someone. So this goes back to the, I don't care how many radical members DSA has. I don't care about whatever caucuses they have. They are endorsing Democrats. They are sheepdogging people into the Democratic Party.
Of course they are.
You know, people can talk about how many members they have and all that shit. You know, we left Socialist International. No one cares. You are sheepdogging for the Democrats.
They are.
You're going to back whoever, after the midterm elections, the Democratic primaries are going to kick up and maybe Bernie runs, maybe Elizabeth Warren runs. They're going to back whoever they think is the most progressive of that pack. And then kicking or screaming, whoever the Democrats do nominate, they're going to back that person. So it's not even a conversation with them.
No.
They are part of the Democratic Party.
They say that they're one thing, but they're really another.
You know it's true.
They remind me, of someone who would. I don't know how to do comedy with music in the background. I start laughing at the music. But I would equate, DSA to the Milli Vanilli of socialists. You think you've got this great movement going, but then you find out the really good looking people with the dreads were just lip syncing the whole time. I'm sorry, Milli Vanilli's got to make you laugh. If you don't laugh at Milli Vanilli, I can't make you laugh.
I understand, even though I don't buy into it, I understand the concept of, compromise to attain power and things like that. But if you're going to compromise this much and fuck up this badly just in the campaign, just finding the person you want to endorse,
right?
What the fuck are you going to do when you're actually in office and you actually have that influence? See, if you're compromising that badly before you get in the door,
yeah,
you're going to be fucking useless once you're actually through the threshold.
I think it's a combination of things. And like I said, so I stand by my remarks as good people in DSA. But like you said, you're not a big supporter of my party. Me and you get along. Okay. I'm a green, you're a socialist. But we work together on coalitions and shit. So, but there seems to be, there's the younger element of people that got involved with Bernie, haven't, really studied socialism, just really believed in Bernie's message. And I think that was a good thing. But, they're around older people who are intentionally roping them into the Democratic Party. And it's unfortunate that so many people warned them of this and they still got roped in. And, I just hope for those people that are listening, they got involved to make a real difference and got involved because they are attracted to socialism and see socialism as a solution to the many crises that we're in here. I hope you realize that all those people that warned you were just going to get roped into the establishment, because in a few months they're going to be telling you in that socialist radical organization or circles or whatever you're in to vote and campaign for Cuomo. I mean, this is what you're involved in. Mm-hmm. And maybe it'll start to click with some of them that, wait a second, I thought I was going to be working on socialism and instead I'm knocking on doors for a neoliberal. I don't know. They're pretty good at brainwashing over there at the Democratic Party. So,
yeah, but I mean, a lot of these people went into DSA after supporting Bernie, who is a Democrat.
Yes.
I don't want to hear anything about, he's an independent, he's a Democrat. He's in the Democratic caucus. He got co-founded the Progressive Caucus.
He did.
He runs for office in Vermont as a Democrat and just declines their nomination after he
gets They put him on some very powerful committees. I think he's on the Armed Services Committee.
Yeah. But he's a Democrat, all right?
He is. He functions as one. He caucuses with them.
Yes.
I've heard people say, well, you have to caucus with somebody, right? Who are you going to work with? Hey, caucus with your constituents. Go home and hold town halls and shit. You don't need to know what other senators are doing until it comes time to debate a bill on the floor if you don't want. Mm-hmm. But go there armed with the people's message, not with a caucus's message. Screw caucuses, they're stupid.
But don't get me wrong. Within the narrow you know, blinders on the narrow scope of looking at the Democratic Party. You know, people like people like Bernie and Elizabeth Warren and Cynthia Nixon. I understand that they represent, you know, the progressive of the progressives in the Democratic Party. So within that very narrow scope, yeah, I understand why they look attractive. But once you take off those blinders and realize that, one, they're just Democrats, and two, there's nothing really progressive about them.
Mm.
If that is the best that the Democratic Party has to offer, then you have to realize it's nowhere near good enough. But they don't see it that
it
way.
It is the best the Democratic Party can offer.
They don't see it that way. They see, let's latch on to the most progressive thing we can find and pretend that it's radical.
The Democratic Party has spent the last 30 years grooming the most right-wing candidates they can find through a corporate system. And then when this trend of progressivism finally takes hold, or whatever it is, they're like, we got to run some people that act like they're socialists and they don't have anybody on the bench. So they found this actress who was a party donor, who has said she wouldn't be running if Michael Bloomberg was the governor. She really said that shit. And in response to, you know, transportation issues, came out and said that she thought that the union should take a haircut. Let me find this quote here. But she said, here we go. Sorry to make you wait out there. Cynthia Nixon, wait, here we go. The unions have to understand with the deals that they have now, you can't hope to make improvements to the trains in a fiscally responsible way. Everyone's got to pull together and everyone's got to make sacrifices. That's what she said. This is a socialist candidate?
Yeah.
Eat me. That ain't a socialist wouldn't even come close. That isn't a slip-up, man.
Yeah.
If you're a socialist, you don't even come close to saying something like that. She just said that like a couple weeks ago.
How the fuck do people in DSA hear something like that and think, I want to endorse this person? Like, what the fuck is wrong with you to think you want to endorse a person like that?
That was April. She said that. This article is dated April 2nd.
Yeah, April 2nd. The endorsement was after that.
Yep.
So they knew that.
They knew about this.
Yeah.
They knew about it.
Disgraceful.
And Howie Hawkins is a Teamster, which I'm a Teamster as well, so he's a fellow Teamster. He's a socialist. He's as anti-capitalist as you get within the Green Party, I'll tell you that. Speaking as a Green who works as an anti-capitalist, yeah, absolutely. Howie Hawkins, you know. And, I mean, you're building on something. The Howie Hawkins, the last time he ran, wound up kicking working families down a notch on the ballot line.
I mean, endorse Howie, don't endorse Howie, but to endorse someone like that,
crazy.
For a nominally socialist organization to endorse someone like that, it's disgusting, it's shameful, and they should be ashamed of themselves.
All right. Well, see, now I'm all riled up. We got all riled up because we left the country.
Yeah.
And we got to
hop back on the North Jersey coastline.
Let's do that. Let's stick to some domestic policy. Yeah. But really, I mean, look, DSA, my comrades in DSA, just start to assess yourselves over there, all right? Please. And don't bring that nonsense into New Jersey, because I could tell you we're not having that. We're not having
it. Get it the fuck together.
Thank you. Thank you.
That's how you say it in New Jersey
language. That's it. Exactly. So let's head all the way down to North Jersey. But you can't get to where we're going to talk about on the Northeast Coast anyway. You'd have to stop. You would have to leave the country if you wanted to come from New York and go to Atlantic City, which we're going to discuss. Mm-hmm. You would have to leave. You have to come through this beautiful country, leave this country, go to Philadelphia, and then come back.
You can take the light rail from Trenton.
Boston,
and they get on the line there.
Okay. It takes about three and a half hours.
It's still a pain in the ass.
To get from New York to Atlantic City.
And starting in September.
Right.
Once you make it to the Atlantic City line, there will be no trains waiting for you.
Well, wait a minute. Wait, what?
It has been announced that for, I think they said 5 months, starting next month, the Atlantic City line is going to be shut down entirely. The official reason is so they can put in the speed things on the tracks that they have to do by the end of the year. But the unofficial reason that what things like NorthJersey.com or whatever it is,
right?
They got a copy of an internal memo, and the real reason is that they want to take all of the trains that are on the Atlantic City line and kick them up to lines that go into New York to relieve some of the passenger congestion.
How long is it? You say 3 months?
5 months. Five.
5 months.
So you know, Atlantic City, which is just starting to, you know, just starting to get its, you know, economies stabilized now. They're not losing jobs. You know, they're, you know, after the casinos closed and everything. This is like a death blow. You're going to cut off the only main public transportation into the city.
Right. Now I'm putting something together here.
I think I know where you're going with this, but go ahead.
You kind of put me on to something, because we'd spoken about this leading up to it, and my tinfoil hat is not on right now. So yeah. That means the conspiracy theories get into you, so I don't want to say this is any fact. Mm-hmm. But I believe we've heard resurging talk of North Jersey casinos.
Yep.
So what better to cripple our current casino economy than to cripple the infrastructure leading to Atlantic City?
Yeah. And I'm sure the governor who lives in Central Jersey wouldn't mind taking a stab at down in South Jersey, who's been rabidly defending casinos in Atlantic City
to the point of where he caters to him to get North Jersey casinos.
Yeah,
you know, and. I mean, if that's real, I don't want, these are the things that's wrong with me, because I don't want to believe people are that evil, that they would cripple.
But it's New Jersey politics, so you know. It's a Tony Soprano state.
Studying history as we have, mm-hmm. because we're socialists, right? We know that oligarchs, mm-hmm. politically powerful people under capitalism do some terrible things. Mm-hmm. Who was the guy that Frick shot? Worked for, I believe, Carnegie.
Not sure off the top of my head.
Gould? Was it Jay Gould? No, it wasn't Jay Gould. I'm going to have to look this up. But this guy had a carriage, and he wanted to get to his golf club. And to get to his golf club, he had to go across a dam. Mm-hmm. And the dam was not... good enough to, when he went to the construction people, he said, you got to widen the dam so I can get my carriage across this to go to my golfing club. And they said, well, if we do that, it'll weaken it and it could cause a problem. And he said, I don't care. Do it anyway, or I'll shoot you. And so people did it, and the dam collapsed and it killed a bunch of people. And then he bribed the jury to get out of it. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to think of his name. But these are the kinds of things that, you know, rich people do in order to get their way. Mm-hmm. There was also a story about an oil tycoon. Mm-hmm. It might have, and that this, I can't remember who it was, but he closed down rail lines to other factories and mm-hmm. put them out of business just to put them out of business. He already owned like 90% of the oil business. He didn't need it to get any richer.
What I can't figure out, and you know, granted this is new, so it might be, the answer might be there, but I'm not seeing it. If they have to install this anti-collision system on all the tracks in New Jersey,
right,
they're not talking about, you know, shutting down the North Jersey coastline or the Northeast corridor or any of the other train lines. As far as I know, there hasn't been any talk about that. Certainly the train in my town's been running the entire time while they've been installing these things. So it doesn't seem like you have to shut down the entire fucking line just to put these things in. You know, a million people use that train line.
Wow.
A million people. You know, and granted,
that's a million people. A million people a day, a million people a year.
No. I think it's a million people a year. Something like maybe a little
that's
bit a less.
That's a lot.
And granted,
it's a lot of lives.
It's the least of all the train lines, but you know, so how many people are using that to get to work? How many people are using that to get to Atlantic City to kick money into their economy?
Yeah.
And you're just going to shut that down for 5 months? Really? you know, for all the talk about, you know, rebuilding Atlantic City and bringing jobs back, and, you know, on top of the, you know, the jackasses who started opening casinos after the casinos closed. but on top of that nonsense, you're going to close the trains. So the only, you know, aside from buses and driving, the only mass transportation way to get to Atlantic City is taking a fucking Spirit airline into the airport.
I can't believe it. You know, of course, working class people are always apt to hop on a jet to go, you know, 50 miles.
Yeah, I mean, Murphy can fly his private jet to Atlantic City, but
Well, I, you know, we are going to talk about this. We are going to have a panel show, I think, on Wednesday. I talked to Jimmy Brash, our comrade. He's supposed to be coming on, so that'll be coming up. We'll talk about some transportation issues then. It's sad to hear, you know, that we're cutting off, and, you know, I'll try and look some more into that, but that's really messed up, man. If they're trying to leverage North Jersey casinos or some crazy stuff like that, I mean, just so they can pay off contractors that they owe political favors to, I mean.
No, what I think it is they, you know, North Jersey and, you know, Trenton, they don't give two shits about South Jersey. Really don't care that much about Atlantic City. So if they can take all of the trains from there and put them in North Jersey, yes, that will relieve some of the congestion with more trains and more train cars. So Murphy can claim a victory that he improved transit in New Jersey. But to get to that point, he's going to completely fuck over everything south of Trenton. Their one train line.
Oh.
Pat, thank you for joining me. Yeah. I wanted to end with some nice music in the background. You have anything to plug? You got anything coming up?
Nothing to plug right now. I know we're going to be in Patterson next month for the Labor Day parade.
Right?
Yep, that's coming up. I'm sure some of your folks will be there.
Yes. They're always happy to see greens there.
You know what's great about that parade? From Bill Pascrell walking around saying hi to everyone. The parade gets smaller and smaller every year.
Right.
But the Greens and the Socialists, you know, the lefty folks, our contingents get larger and larger every year.
It's true.
So even though the parade's getting smaller, our percentage of it keeps going up. So eventually it's just going to be all our people.
And every year one of the speakers yells at us.
Like, oh, yeah.
And every year, one of the speakers like, you're spoilers! Yeah!
Oh, they were pissed off last year with all the Caperdale folks there. They were unhappy.
Well, we'll be there again this year.
Because Bill Murphy was there, and, you know.
Oh. Yeah. You know, it's Labor Day. It's, you know, socialists kind of helped get that off the ground so they can all eat meat.
Yeah.
Believe me, every time they cry about it, the funnier we think it is, and the more of us will show up.
Yeah, you know, and what's always fun is at the end of the parade, it ends at the Patterson Falls, and you have the ceremonial throwing someone over the falls.
One of these years, they might get up. Yeah. If you like what you hear here on New Jersey Revolution Radio, right now you're hearing Dean Martin. If you like what you hear and you want to stand up to the system, if you want to stand up with the anti-capitalist system here in New Jersey, or the anti-capitalist network that is New Jersey Revolution Radio, we got a lot of things going on. If you could donate $20, you'll sponsor a whole week of this stuff. So the interviews, the activist work, the calendar that's on our website that tells you where events are and stuff like that, kick in for it. We all work together, and your little part will help. Thanks a lot, Pat. I'll talk to you soon.
All right. Have a good night.